Driving toward El Paso, through Doña Ana County, New Mexico, I see the border wall for the first time, its stark brown form extending endlessly parallel to Interstate 10. Entering El Paso, I see the colorful homes of Ciudad Juarez across the Rio Grande River, and I imagine how it would feel for someone to sit on those hills, staring across the United States, following an arduous journey to arrive this far. Crossing the U.S. border, however, is perhaps the most dangerous part yet. Nearly 1 year ago, No More Deaths, a humanitarian group based in Arizona, released a database and a map documenting migrant remains recovered on the U.S. side of the border with Mexico. Depending on the region, they claim 20 to 40% more deaths than the U.S. Customs and Border Protection's official count, which only displays data from 2018 through 2022 on its public website. The No More Deaths Project includes known border deaths from 2002 to April 2025, collected through public records requests to county medical examiners and investigators, coroners, sheriff's offices, as well as Customs and Border Protection and other agencies. Quote, "The death toll from 30 years of prevention through deterrence border policy is staggering," they write. Many more deaths are estimated where remains were never found, including thousands in Mexico. Of the 11,560 recorded deaths, a cluster of 321 is listed in Doña Ana County, New Mexico.
This is the most active area that we've searched in like 3 years. This is where we found the most.
Marine Corps veteran James Holman founded Battalion Search and Rescue in 2020. The nonprofit organizes volunteer search missions in remote areas of Arizona and New Mexico. Their stated mission is, quote, "to save lives and provide closure for families and loved ones."
I worked with some of the groups like the Armadillos and the Aguilas for years, and a difference from us to them is that we do these general searches in these high traffic areas, right? Like the Growler Valley in Arizona or here. Whereas they typically do cases. They're looking for a certain person.
The organization has located some 120 final resting places, contributing to the documentation of a humanitarian crisis along the southern border. And they've assisted many more people by providing water, directions, or helping them to connect with emergency services.
Seeing people crossing is quite rare. We've done it, we've given them water, but it's quite rare.
According to Holman, the work is about remembrance, dignity, and making sure that people who are, quote, "too often reduced to statistics are seen as human beings." In early June 2026, Battalion hosted its inaugural Not Forgotten Project, orchestrating a week of daily searches in Doña Ana County, where they had previously reported over 40 sites. For six consecutive days, between 4 and 10 volunteers swept up to 6 miles of desert, searching. I joined for the final 2 days. Carrying handheld radios, volunteers fan out in a staggered line. Following previous search and rescue tracks mapped using the Gaia GPS app, the group walks at a clip, each person staying within sight of the people on either side, with James and his partner in action and in life, Abby Carpenter, guiding from the flanks. They swivel their gaze, checking left, checking right, looking behind, looking ahead.
Let's go this way, and I'll be on the right, sweetie, and I'll follow that old track.
Okay, the arcing one.
Yeah. So So we're gonna head off this way, you guys. So I'm gonna be here, and we're gonna basically line up like to the to my left. And you're gonna keep your spacing to the person to your right. I'm the lead, and like slightly behind. We'll help you. We'll show you.
Then, hiking through the sand, over and around swells of pokey palo verde and yucca plants, I spot some clothing beneath a bush. We had already encountered many discarded backpacks, sweaters, hats, even shoes, but something here felt different. I check around the bush, and there rests a human jawbone, unmistakable, full of teeth.
There's braces on this person. Yeah, not with those fancy rubber bands. They've all been wired together. Maybe it's different than.
There's hair here.
Nearby, we find rib bones, a humerus, scapula, pelvis, femurs, and a bra. I ask Abby about next steps.
Are we supposed to report to the law enforcement of the area? For us here, it's the Doña Ana County Sheriff. And we call in to non-emergency, not an emergency, and then we try to send them after they believe. All I want is their email address. Give me an email address, because we have a form, and it has what we found, a GPS point, how to get here, how many miles from different roads, my name, my email, my phone number, and they never want to give me their email. I finally get their email. They're supposed to come out and locate, and then they contact the Office of the Medical Investigator, OMI, who has field agents.
Beside each bone, they tie a fluorescent pink ribbon. Later, at a gas station, they call it in.
Got another quick question. How were you able to tell that they're human remains? What kind of training is it that you have?
Can you look at the Can you look at the pictures?
Yeah, but I'm asking you the questions first.
I'm saying, look at the pictures. If you think those are not human, you let me know.
I'm asking because you're the one that found them. Your battalion rescue. Search and Rescue is the one that found them, so I need to know what type of training you guys have.
You do not need to know my training. You can see that those are human remains.
The relationship between the Doña Ana County Sheriff's Office and Battalion Search and Rescue is trying at best. Each party has publicly attacked the other. The humanitarian group accuses the Sheriff's Office of dragging their feet and questions why an investigation into the prominence of deaths in this area and a disproportionate number of female remains, compared to other regions along the border, hasn't been thoroughly investigated. Doña Ana County Sheriff Kim Stewart says that Battalion Search and Rescue is not, quote, a highly trained or reputable group. She suggested in an interview with Searchlight New Mexico that Battalion is planting bones.
We didn't want all this animosity from day one.
Yeah.
We didn't want it. From our first find, we got it from them. In 3 years, she hasn't let up.
Aggregated data from the No More Deaths Migrant Mortality Map finds that women, primarily in their 20s and 30s, account for 39% of the Doña Ana County deaths, four times the percentage of deaths classified as female across the entire data set. However, Doña Ana County appears to have substantially more complete sex identification than the overall border dataset. That's about 17% in Doña Ana compared with 50% sex unknown overall.
Every step of the way, they have done nothing but normalize like all these deaths. And that's unacceptable.
I attempted to interview Sheriff Stewart on this topic, but did not receive responses by deadline.
Doña Ana County Sheriff's Office.
Hello, my name is Raleigh Burley, and I'm a reporter and was hoping for an interview with Sheriff Kim Stewart.
Okay, give me 1 second. Let me transfer you to her assistant, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you.
My questions were, after visiting these sites and assisting the Office of the Medical Investigator with recoveries, have you discovered any evidence to suggest the bones were truly planted? Has there been an investigation into the prominence of deaths in this area, and what are your theories? And please describe, from your perspective, the challenges of responding to Battalion's reports, which include coordinates. In November of 2024, Sheriff Stewart told KTSM, a local television station, that the coordinates are not always reliable and Battalion's presence contaminates potential evidence at these sites. She said, quote, "I have crimes that need investigation where I know there are victims." A June 2025 article from the Texas Tribune details how Operation Lone Star, aggressive anti-immigrant measures adopted in Texas, likely motivates migrants to cross just west of El Paso in this corner of New Mexico.
Somebody's hurting my sister and it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Yes, it's gone on far too long. Oh, somebody's hurting my sister and it's gone on far too long. And we won't be silent anymore.
The same day we discovered the jawbone and other remains, in the evening, a group of about 24 people stood with candles in vigil outside the Camp East Montana Detention Center at a noisy intersection on the other side of El Paso.
So what's this camp that people are talking about?
So this is Camp East Montana, Fort Bliss, but it's a detention center. It's a concentration camp. So it was built in August of last year, and it's supposed to house 5,000 people. I think the most it's gotten is 3,000.
Ana Reza works for the Episcopal Diocese of the Rio Grande. She was one of several people to speak at the vigil.
You know, I kept thinking today of the story of the 71-year-old great-grandma that was detained in Arizona for 8 months. She was just released May 29th. This is who is in our centers. I just see her white hair, her grandchildren crying for her. This is the reality of what's happening in our country and has been happening for many years. This is nothing new. It's just very intensified at this point. We have been criminalizing and incarcerating innocent people. What is happening here right now, here in this Camp East Montana, we stand to mourn together, to get angry, to build community, and to go into action.
Illuminated by candles, three crosses commemorate three men who perished at Camp East Montana.
So three people have died. We all know their crosses are there. We have talked about it since the center has opened.
Victor Manuel Diaz, born in Nicaragua, was 36. Francisco Gaspar Cristobal Andres, a father of five, born in Guatemala, was 48 years old. And Geraldo Lunas Campos, father of four, born in Cuba, was 55. They all died in ICE custody.
Francisco and his wife, they were from Florida, and they had met there and they had had five children. And one day they were pulled over for a traffic stop and they were both detained. They were both brought to this camp, this detention center, this concentration camp. And she was deported while he died here. And she says, "I never got to see him again. I never got to hear his voice again."
During the hour-long vigil, two large buses with tinted windows passed by, presumably transporting more detainees into the camp. Everyone standing at the corner raised a hand, silently communicating, "We see you. We care. We're trying."
Those are people that are being taken right now to that detention center, into that evil, into that horrible place. And this is not the first detention they've been there. Sometimes they are moved around to different places.
Notably, the humanitarian responses I witnessed in the borderlands were often grounded in traditions of faith.
Let us pray. Let us pray. O God of grace and glory, we remember before you today our brothers and sisters here at this detention center and in other detention centers around the country.
Battalion Search and Rescue's Not Forgotten project concluded with its own vigil on a bright Sunday morning. It was held close to where we searched, at the site of a cross made by Tucson artist Alvaro Enciso, marking the place of a migrant's death.
This was a young woman. The majority of the deaths out here are women. Along the border, it's 15 to 18%, but in this area, it's 55. A lot. And this woman was 20 years old, and she was found less than 2 days after she died. Probably, you know, somebody was driving by here. She was from Guatemala. And I didn't plan this, but she was discovered on June 7th.
Oh. Wow.
Today.
Oh my goodness.
2 years ago.
Elderly Catholic sisters, teenage Georgetown prep students, and others joined the non-denominational service led by Episcopal priest Sarah Guck.
So today we gather to remember those who've sought safety and refuge and dignity and life across the borderlands. We remember those who have survived, those who did not, and those who still remain in danger. We remember those whose names who have been lost to the desert and to the river and to violence and exploitation and indifference. So we gather today in grief, in compassion, and in hope.
The compassion of these, among other groups, refusing to turn a blind eye to the suffering of others, gives me hope. When the most vulnerable people, willing to risk their lives for a basic standard of living, are scapegoated, becoming a target for misguided hatred, while the richest people in the history of the world steal away precious land and water to power artificial intelligence, a force truly responsible for taking people's jobs. It's groups like these that restore my faith in humanity.
For those who died seeking safety,
we remember.
For those still on the journey,
may they be protected.
For those who offer shelter and care,
may they be strengthened.
For a world where all people can live with dignity,
may we help build it.
On this 250th anniversary of our country, I choose to remember that this is and has always been a nation of immigrants. And everyone deserves a home, a place to feel safe and supported in order to realize our fullest potential and give back to our communities in ways big and small.
Love is flowing like a river. Flowing out of you and me, flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free.
Justice
is flowing like a river, flowing out of you and me. Flowing out into the desert, setting all the captives free.
For Field of Birds Media, reporting from the borderlands, I'm Raleigh Burley.